everybody, it's SK here. I am Susan K. Wyatt. I am the producer of the show, Shifting from Scared to Sacred Radio with Carol Woodliffe here on the Creating Calm Network. I help Carol by taking your calls and helping her run the board. We are on a new format. We had a lot of interesting fun with Blog Talk Radio last week, where our show got cut off and then we came back on, and it was actually pretty funny stuff. So we just can't even imagine that anything else could happen more than that, but we're ready for anything that comes up. So if you're joining us for the first time, let me tell you who Carol is. Carol Woodliffe is a shaman and the author of the book From Scared to Sacred, Lessons in Learning to Dance with Life. She does energy healing and intuitive coaching sessions that help people live their passion and purpose. Carol calls it going big, which is what I like. And if you're going to go big, you need a lot of help and support, and you got to have friends, and that's what we're here for. And we like to talk about the deep stuff, the dark stuff, and the fun stuff along the way to make all of that happen for each other. So without further ado, I would like to bring on Carol Woodliffe.
Hi, everyone. We're in this mode. We're using Instant Teleseminar for the show today. We're trying out to see how this works. It gives us most of the functions that we had on Blog Talk. People can listen on the web. They can listen via phone. If you're on the phone and you decide you want to talk to us, ask a question, we do have to have a little different procedure. You have to raise your hand. This is a little bit like grade school. And to raise your hand from your phone, you press star 2 to talk to us. And then we can see that you want to talk to us, and we can unmute your phone line, and we can talk to you. So that was a little bit of housekeeping. Those of you who are listening on the web, you can send questions or add your comments on our Facebook page. Shifting from Scared to Sacred Radio. Today, our topic is embracing all of your talents. And we probably have a couple side detour conversations because SK and I were having some fun conversations earlier that were like, we have to talk about this on the radio. But I just want to talk about why embracing all of your talents. I started thinking the other day about people like Leonardo da Vinci and all those like people who were multi-talented. They were artists, they were scientists, they were, you know, those what they called Renaissance men. And it seems like our lives are telling us more and more to pick one thing, focus on it, and, you know, that's your talent. And SK and I don't really fall into that realm very easily. Yeah. We're multi-talented women. And so we want to encourage everybody to embrace everything. Now, you can't embrace everything all at once. It makes you slightly mad. But there might be talents and things that you have that are calling to you that you're not expressing. And sometimes in not doing that, we also can actually make ourselves ill from an energetic standpoint. So today I want to talk about like the challenge of being a multi-talented person, which I believe everybody is, but some people really seem to get a really nice basket full of talents, and I think my co-host there, Ms. Susan K. Wyatt, has that. So you got a nice basket, and does it make you nuts when you're trying to decide which part of your basket to use each day?
Carol, you know me so well. It's insanity, and I talk about it all the time, and I still, in my humanity, haven't seemed to be able to figure it out. I have to tell you, it's really funny. If you're listening, if you ever have talked to people who are on a path and they feel like they've become enlightened, or they feel like they know what to do, what to tell you. Whenever I share my issues about being confused or being overloaded or not being able to choose one thing, so I'm not being able to get things finished, I love when people, I don't know if it's ever happens to you, but they're like, well, you shouldn't do that. And I'm like, really? I didn't. Or you shouldn't be afraid, or you shouldn't be this, or you shouldn't do that. That's not good for you. And I'm like, well, duh, I know that. It's my humanity. And I'm basically owning up to it And only in owning up to those times where we are confused or where we have places where we need a little extra help as far as organization or choosing one task at a time or somebody to, you know, crack the whip to help you make deadlines and all those kinds of things. You know, it's just being honest. And that's what we do on this show is we talk about those things. You know, Carol is always giving some amazing advice from the shamanic perspective and the spiritual perspective in that realm. And then, you know, you've got the everyday life stuff that just happens to be everyday life stuff. It comes up for everyone. And even people who are tremendously successful have a difficult time holding it all together. So we're here to keep it real, to keep it honest, and talk about that. And thank you, Carol, for saying that I'm multi-talented. That's so sweet of you.
Well, you know what? Some of the people listening to the call may know this because they may be following me on Facebook, and other people may not know this at all. I have been starting these writers coaching groups because one of my talents is helping people write and helping people become better writers. And it's not something that I had broadcast a lot, but I got guidance that I should form some groups and support some people to get their books done. And it's very interesting because I have very talented people coming to share their writing. And first of all, they're so vulnerable and so wonderful about, you know, being brave enough to put their work out there with people. But it's so interesting because the question that comes up over and over again is that, well, I don't know if what I have to say is really important, or why should people listen to me? And we are so taught that our talents or our thing, maybe ours aren't as big as someone else, but in owning our own talent in a big way, even if it just affects, you know, 50 people around us, it affects 50 people around us. And I think embracing our gifts is almost like embracing our children. Mm. And when we have talents and we don't embrace them, when I'm doing energy work with people, I see in that second chakra area, like almost like those projects that want to birth are just like babies. There's energy there that wants to come through. So I don't have an answer for how you embrace all of your talents, but I just know that so many people I work with and talk to have so much more going on than meets the eye, and they're surprising and they're amazing. And I want to create a space here where we can talk about that and we can give you permission to start with a talent doing it, quote, badly, because when we learned to walk, we didn't get up off, you know, out of the crib and just walk across the room. We held on to things, we fell, we were, you know, unsteady on our feet, we'd take two steps, we'd fall on our diaper, you know, we do all that stuff, and then we get to adults and we want to embrace something new. And we judge ourselves against the people who have been doing it for 20 years and think we don't have any talent. And I don't believe that's true at all. So I think we need to find a place where we help each other embrace the light, as the quote by Marianne Williamson, it's not our darkness that we're afraid of, it's our light, it's our talents. How big can we be? And I think that is a really important thing for all of us to own, really, what we got, you know? If
right.
You got it, flaunt it, except maybe not all the way.
Oh, no. All right, so we're going to have to go on a little detour here.
Yes.
Carol and I were laughing because, I don't know if you guys have noticed people doing, you know, selfies all the time on, of course you've noticed, on Facebook and Instagram and everything. The selfie is the big thing. And, you know, people are always changing their profile pictures. And we have noticed, and I have been guilty of this during a couple of my panel chats. We've noticed like a big, I don't even know how to say it, Carol, just big, the flaunting of giant breasts. I'm sorry, it's just so good. There was a person who is in a business mode and just recently posted a picture of herself where it looks like it's like she's there, but the picture is actually of her breast. So I just want to recommend that, you know, there's some cropping that you can do. And so if you are multi-talented and you happen to have a big rack on you, I just so you know, I think that people look at you in a certain way. And I know for me personally, there's a couple of piano chats that I posted that when I went back and looked at them, and I do not have a big chest, but I do have, you know, I've got enough that is, you know, apparently was, you know, a little too much in a couple of my piano chats when I watched them. And there was actually one piano chat, Carol, I don't think I told you this, I might have, but I had taped this wonderful, amazing piano chat. It was brilliant. I played brilliantly. I was funny. I was talented. I was fabulous. And then I looked at it, and all I could see was my boob. And I was like, all right, well, I can't post that because I really want people to hear my message. I want them to see me. I want them to see, you know, my light, and I want them to love the spirit of me and connect with that. So I don't know if you've noticed any of that, but, you know, and you're afraid to say anything because, you know, they're really, I don't know. So we
were laughing so hard. Now, I am a person who has ample chest. And I've always, you know, had this thing where I've had to look at and go, okay, yeah, if I want to be taken seriously in business, I can't wear that. And I know some people would say, okay, that's men's problems or that's other people's problems, what they look at. But there's time and place.
Yes,
and one of the other people that we both, Susan Kay and I, saw women doing selfies, doing pictures that were really about cleavage, and that in environments that I thought it just made us laugh because there was a woman who's putting her out there as this great spiritual person, and she had a picture, like her whole feed for a period of time was her and her chest, and she wasn't getting comments on her spirituality. She was getting double entendre comments from men. Now, I shouldn't judge because maybe that's what she wants, and that, but it just made us laugh. And it's like, what talents do you want to be known for? I guess would be if you want to come back to it, you know,
exactly.
I've had, years and years ago, I was dating a guy, and we were out with some friends of his playing pool, and I heard them across the pool table commenting on my chest. And my boyfriend at the time went, yeah, and they're both real, too. And I went, ew. So that isn't, there's nothing I can do. Mother Nature endowed me, and I bless her, and I thank her. But that's our little detour for the day. Like,
Took a big boob, we took a, what I'd like to call the big boob detour, and it was good. But, you know, the thing is that, you know, just a shout out to people to know, you just got to be careful out there. I mean, you got to be careful what you put up, and you have to make good decisions about those things. And you know what? We do honor if somebody, I love it when people have lost weight and they post, you know, those pictures and they're really proud of what they're bought. And, you know, women, these women that we're talking have beautiful bodies, and they either have recently lost weight or they're just taking good care of themselves. And we celebrate your, we celebrate your curves. We celebrate, you know, we're not uptight at all. It's just that when you're trying to be taken seriously, I mean, even my Life is the Party album cover, people have made comments about it because it's my face. It's just my face. But Elizabeth told me to my daughter, loves this photo of me because she says it looks daring. And I've been told by people that they think it looks like it's sexy, or that it's a sexier thing than what it really is. And of course, the name of the album is Life is the Party. So I think some people may think that it's a different kind of album than a positive music album. So, but, you know, and that's just my face. So it's interesting how these things can be, you know, taken in different ways. And sometimes the people who are taking them in the wrong way just aren't your people. But and I wasn't even showing any boobs. That was just my face was getting, you know, slammed. So, you know, just those kinds of things, it can help you and it can hold you back too. And always have good friends in your corner who can help you make decisions like that. So
love about this discussion, Susan Kay, is that we talk about this, like, and it's one of the things about that you talk about in your upcoming book. It's like, we have to succeed and put our talents out there in the real world. And there is a sexualization of women, and there is all these things going on in the real world. Mm-hmm. And so it is something that each of us has to decide what works for us. And obviously, as Kay and I are a little bit more on, you know, don't, you know, look at the message, having a congruence between the message you're sending and the image you're putting out there, it really doesn't have anything to do with what those women are doing. It just made both of us laugh so hard last night. So it's a detour that we took on this show.
It was a lot of stuff that I can't unsee. I just want to say that right now. I just can't unsee it now. And people can't unsee it, just so you know. Once people have seen it, there's nothing you can do to take it back. So anyway, so we want to remind you that if you do want to contribute, if you are listening, and we can see we have some listeners, we've got a group here, and if you do want to talk on the air, or you want to ask a question or make a comment about what we are talking about, you have to do *2 on your phone, and it will show us that you'd like to talk, and we can unmute your microphone and bring you right on. And also, please, if you want to ask any questions on the Shifting from Scared to Sacred Radio Facebook page, there is a live chat happening there. We are monitoring it and refreshing it, and so we are there. So if you'd like to participate in that way, we'd love to hear from you if you have any thoughts. But indeed, I think this whole idea of being a Renaissance person, Carol, I think it's even more prevalent now that people are being there. There's so many entrepreneurs out there because of online, because of people being able to do things for themselves. People are becoming talented in many, and discovering different talents, you know, that they have as far as graphics and making their own websites and marketing themselves and everything. So I think these times are calling for us to bring out all of the different talents that we have, and it's the perfect time to do it, and there's so many resources.
And I think one of the things is traditional, those of you who are entrepreneurs or have a niche, you're told to be that person only in that niche. And, like, if you have something that doesn't fit with that, to kind of leave that and not talk about that. And I guess part of the reason this show is coming up for me is I've decided to drop all that. I don't know what I'm going to call myself, but I'm a healer, I'm a performer, I am a photographer, I am an artist, and I'm an author, and I'm all those things.
Yes,
and
you are.
And all those things are in service of making the world a better place. I don't know exactly how that happens, but I know, for example, I have my Shaman on the Walk pictures that I do each day. And so many people on Facebook who follow those pictures say, I love your walk pictures. They remind me of beauty. They remind me of that. So I think when we allow all of our talents and we allow ourselves to really express, just like the Marianne Williamson quote, we give everybody else permission to do it. And the world has so many issues and needs so much love and so much of us to embrace who we really are and get to it here, not hold back. We were planted with those seeds of those talents for a reason. So I guess it was just really to allow all of us to give ourselves permission. And as I love what SK said on the opening, which was so often when we share that there are other people who just want to go, well, okay, well, you shouldn't do that, or here's my advice to you. And I think we need to hold space for people to be in the figuring it out, in the embracing, and we are doing a dance. As I talk about in my book, From Scared to Sacred, it's a dance between our humanness and our spirit. So we have to love our human self as it figures it out, as we bumble along, because if we don't and we're judging that, then we shut down our expression of who we are. So we get caught. And I think SK and I could both tell you about points on our journey where we shut ourselves down and we didn't go forward with our talent. And I think the best
really, Carol?
The best part of our partnership right now is that we're kicking each other in the butt and not letting it letting us stay stuck?
Well, you know, that for me, it's been the past 4 months. I had all these great intentions, and I actually loaded up what I wanted to do at the beginning of the year. I loaded up with everything on the list. And the thing is that the music projects that needed to be done, that I want to be done, can't really happen until I finish this book. And then I'm beating myself up because I'm not working on the music. And so then I'm not doing the music because I'm supposed to be working on the book, and then I'm mad at myself because I'm not doing the music. And when I was doing the music, I was mad at myself for not doing the book. And then I see people who are these miraculous multitaskers who seem to be doing it all. And I'm like, I'm not saying I can't do it, but it's not something that I'm good at. And it's not something that feels comfortable to me to do it all at once. And they say, you know, the saying about, you know, you can do it all. You just can't do it all at the same time. If you decided to have a family, or if you're married and you're enjoying time with your husband. I know for me personally, I just found an old box of photographs, and I've been with my husband since 1993. And it's interesting because when I look back at our fresh little faces, you know, 20 years ago, and I realize how in love with my husband I am, and what a miracle my relationship with him has been in my life. And it hit me today that I do allow myself to enjoy time with my family at the expense of my career, at the expense of getting things done sometimes. And I've been beating myself up over that too. But guess what? I had this epiphany as I was looking at these photos, and I think, oh my gosh, what a gift. What a blessing, and what a gift to have this kind of love. Because before that, my love life and my everything was a complete disaster, and I was, you know, going into total disasterville. And so it is such a great gift. And so we're not just talking about talents as far as, you know, musical talents or book writing or different, or whatever, if you're a cook or whatever you do. You know, there are talents, there are things to express in life that have to do with relationships, that have to do with family. And if you have a great husband and you got kids, then, you know, you've got all of these people that you're wrangling, and that you are in creative mode all of the time. And to create a beautiful life for yourself and for your family and for your friends, and, you know, that's something that I do all the time. It's, you know, I'm always looking to create beauty for a dinner party, or do something, or bake something, or make something and share it. And so if you're one of those people, those are things that you, if you feel, you know, drawn to do that, you know, let all of that out. That also has to do with your gifts of sharing and cooking or baking or whatever you do. But it adds to that list of things. And instead of looking at it as the detriment, I'm trying to teach myself to just really be in gratitude over all of the elements that I do have in place and how grateful I am for those. So we're talking about those kinds of things too, and allowing yourself the time to have those in your life. And if you do have them, just really appreciating them.
Well, I think that's so important. I think one of the things we look at when we think about talents, we look at talents and we start thinking musician or business person, or we start thinking about work. We start thinking about, like, how you express yourself through your work. And I think it's like how you can express yourself as you. It doesn't have anything to do with whether it's work. I know my mother was an excellent seamstress. It wasn't her work, but every prom dress I had, she made my sister's wedding dress. At her funeral, one of my high school classmates spoke and talked about all the projects, the sewing projects, that my mom had helped Sally rescue. Because Sally would start sewing, and then she'd get, like, it would all be messed up, and she would bring it to my mom, and my mom would help her rip it apart and fix it and put it back together. Ugh. And it was all done with love, and my mom was so talented as a seamstress. When I wore clothes that she made, they were like tailor-made. There was not a thing that you could tell they were homemade. They were that beautiful. And so that's a talent. And she never made any money off of it, but she put a lot of love into every stitch. The joke was with my sister's wedding dress, because my mom also was kind of the sewing happened at the nth hour. So we joked as she was making my sister's wedding dress that mom was going to be following my sister down the aisle sewing on one more pearl, because that's how all our prom dresses were finished, like at 4 o'clock in the morning the day before the prom. So, but we knew in every stitch there was love. And my mom wasn't the best at expressing her love verbally, but she was so embodied love when she was sewing. So how do you embody love in expressing who you are? It's really interesting. I'm working on my second book and got a lot of spirit messages to come back and write the second book and really, you know, devote the hour a day that I devoted to writing the first book, get back into that routine. And one of the things that I asked yesterday, and I actually put this up on my author page, Carol Woodliffe, author on Facebook, is I was working on the new book, and I asked Spirit, you know, what do you want me to do next? And I got the answer, grow your heart big enough to envelop the world. And as that came out through my pen, I just started laughing, and I was like, I said, could you have given me something simple? Could you have given me, like, you know, go next door and say, tell your neighbor they're beautiful.
Bake a cake. I mean, come on. Something a little more simple. Like, that's a little vague, don't you think, Carol?
Yeah.
Why don't you share your heart with the world? All right. I'll be back. I'll be back later. I'll just take care of that.
I'll work on that. But in a way, when we really express our talents and we're sharing them just as we are, and SK talked about her dinner parties and that when you go to her house, you feel enveloped in the Wyatt family love. There is such an amazing energy in their house, and that is a talent, and it's a gift she and her husband Larry and Elizabeth share with the people who come into their homes. So when I talk about embracing all of your talents, I mean all of your talents. And it means, like, being okay that some of your talents you don't have that other people have, you know. And there's a quote I posted on the event page, which was, I just popped off of the event page. I need to go back to the event page. Oops, I lost the event page.
Are you popping? Are you popping off again?
I'm popping around. Oh, no, I'm popping. Because I popped over to my page to actually get the quote of what that is. But there's a Henry Van Dyke quote that says, use what talents you possess. The woods would be very silent if no birds sang there except those that sang best.
Hmm. Although birds kick butt singing, man. They're right now, you know, right, spring, they have the babies out there. There's a lot of noise going on out there, and all of it's good. I mean, they're all, you think there's any birds that aren't good singers?
Well, I think there are birds that are pretty annoying singers, actually.
Yeah, you're right. I've known some of those. We had a bird that when Larry and I moved into this one condo, and our bedroom was on the inside where there was a courtyard. And we moved into this condo, this was a long time ago, and there was a bird, some kind of a mockingbird, who was all the time, like, right outside of our window. And Larry actually threw a shoe at him. And it was like, seriously, dude, you're going to do that all the time? And I'm thinking, I don't own a gun, and I don't like guns, and I'm not really into that right now, but I really could have shot that bird. I could have totally shot him.
Yeah, so I said there are, you know, and one day I had a turf war between the blue jays that live in my pine tree, and the parrots.
Oh, God.
Now, South Pasadena, where I live, has wild parrots.
Yeah, we do.
And they're really noisy.
Well, especially when the loquat trees have fruit. We had a loquat tree in our backyard, so I know it was just a massive attack. of horrors.
There was a, you know, West Side Story, the parrots versus the blue jays, and it was so loud I had to put earplugs in. So
All right. So there are annoying birds. We've decided there's
annoying
birds.
There are annoying birds. But the whole point is, if you like don't feel like you have a great singing voice, or you feel like you want to write, but you feel like your writing talents aren't up to the person who has writing talent, like whoever your favorite author is, it's like you still are called to express. And you're still called to be there and enjoy. I don't have the best singing voice, and I certainly would never put myself front and center to sing, but I love Christmas caroling. I love singing to the radio in my car. It doesn't stop me from singing. It stops me from saying I'm going to go try out for The Voice or something, because I do have a realistic understanding of what my singing voice is. I can carry a tune, sort of. But, I mean, I'm not like one of those totally tone-deaf people, but I also don't have an amazing singing voice. But it doesn't mean I can't love to sing.
Carol, you've never sung for me. Is there a reason for this?
Yeah, a little intimidation there.
I mean, that's why my daughter, Elizabeth, has the most beautiful singing voice, but she refuses to use it because I'm a singer. And she's refusing to use that, and she also picked up the piano pretty easily. She's refusing to use that gift right now, and so I just kind of hang back and go, yeah, it's in her back pocket when she needs it. And the funny thing is it's always going to keep coming up for her. I see it come up, these opportunities that fall into her lap that have to do with singing or playing the piano. It's quite amusing. And so one of the things – oh, you were talking about things that you're not good at. I always, in raising Elizabeth, to appreciate the things that she's really good at and also to be okay with the stuff that you're not good at. You know, one of the things I'm not good at, I don't have good handwriting. And, of course, my husband, who is a designer, has designer handwriting, and he's got, and I can't read his either because it's so designery. And Elizabeth has really cool handwriting like her father. But, you know, I just told her, I said, I'm okay with that, but I do have a hard time writing personal notes. I write beautiful words, but when I handwrite them, my writing is just so ugly. And, you know, it's hard for me to do that. It's really hard for me to sit down and write a personal note. So if you ever get a personal note from me, it took a lot of bravery for me to sit down and do that just because it's so hard for me. Not the words. The words come pouring out of my heart. But it's the handwriting. I just can't do it. So I told Elizabeth, I said, it's okay for me not to be good at that thing. It's okay for, you know, and I love to cook, and I cook well certain things. I have a couple of dishes that are like my signature dishes. And the one horse show, or what is the saying where you have one thing you do really well? But anyway,
script.
What?
I said I don't know, but I get what you're talking about.
Yeah. So, one trick pony. It's the one trick pony. So I've got a few dishes that are my one trick pony, and I was laughing with Larry. I go, I need to find a couple new dishes, you know, because I need to, amp up my dinner parties. But I am really always in awe and happy when other people are amazing cooks. Like, there are people that I know that cook way better than me or cook as well as me or, and I learn from them. And I don't feel the need to be competitive with my cooking. I like to share, though, but I do love to do it. And so, there are certain things. I mean, are there things that you're just really not good at and you have to be okay with it and let other people help you with that or do that for you and say, okay, I'm going to let them do that, and also appreciate that I'm really, really good at this other thing?
I think that's important. I think it's very important to know and be okay with what you're not good at or what you struggle with, and be like, okay, that's something I'll gladly turn over. I left because I'm single right now. And it's just one of those things that I can do, but I don't like dealing with my car. I don't like taking it for service. I don't like doing all of that. And it's like one of those things that I would gladly give over to someone and say, honey, could you just take the car in for me? You know, it's not even that I can't do it. you know, I'm one of those capable people who will dive in and do just about anything if it needs to get done. But I also am learning how to accept help and how to say, you know what, I don't have to do that today. And I have to laugh because last night when I looked at this new format that we're on, my head, I already had a headache, and I was like, I don't want to learn a new format. I don't want to do it. And, you know, I pushed through, and it's working fine, and we're all okay. But there's just moments where you're just not wanting to push out of your comfort zone, or you're just wanting someone else to take care of it, and that's okay, too. That's part of being human. It's I have a good friend who also does energy healing and work, and one of the things, gifts we give each other, is we give each other the moments to be human before we dive into trying to teach each other what we should do spirit-wise. Because a lot of times what happens in these spiritual, you know, communities and in the thing and in the coaches and the self-help and all of that, the human stuff isn't honored before we dive in, before we start trying to fix things. Right. So it's like when someone's practicing a new talent or trying to get going on something, so often we want to criticize or we want to say, well, you could do this better or you could do that better, rather than being in process with people. So that's another thing that we can do when we're trying to embrace our talents and embrace just our lives, that we can also create a place to be gentle with the frustration, be gentle with the places where we don't feel like we're good enough, we're doing it enough, we're doing it well enough. I think that's really important.
Oh, yeah. No, it's we've talked about this before on the shows, and I think it's important. It's an important point to bring up, to be in support of the process. And no, you don't get a big dose of that as much as somebody when you're a mom and your kids are learning stuff, because they really are at the beginning of learning everything. And I tend to come from a critical place because of the way I was raised, and I've had to unlearn that thought process where the critic comes out first. And I have done both ways, and I have been guilty of being the critic, and I have felt the horrible, ugly energy that I had put out there. And so I've done that, and it's a hard lesson, because when you're a mom and you're a parent and it's a child, I mean, this child is looking to you for support always. And so I've learned a big lesson. I've talked about that before, but I think it's a good thing to remember, and also to remember to do that for yourself, you know, because coming from a critiqued background, and being my husband, when he first met me, said, "You are the most over-critiqued person I've ever met," and I have been critiqued harshly my whole life by people, and it's very strange when I think about it. I always go, wow, that's crazy. But so it has created within me this inner critic that just will not shut up. It's just, and that's what keeps me stuck. So we keep talking about, you know, moving forward and having your talents. And a lot of the work that Carol does in her shaman practice is to help shift and to help to go visit those places where that recording started in your mind from whenever it was that said, you can't do this, you're not good enough to do that, or, you know, don't go there, or you have to stop, or you're, you know, all of those things, to get those critics that then they're not just from you, they're from things that have happened to you or things that you've seen in process. They're a part of who you are, and learning how to undo that damage is a part of what a lot of our, Carol and I both have a lot of healing friends, a lot of life coach friends, that are a part of our circle, that are always joining us, that are probably listening right now. So we want to give a shout out to all of you who are doing such great work in the world and helping people. And we know that when you do that, it's because it started out with something that you're passionate about, because you needed the help. And when you found it, you're sharing in that gift. And so we're so grateful for all of the life coaches and the shamans and the energy healers and the light workers and all the people that are a part of our community. We welcome you, and we also encourage you to share with us your website, what you're doing along those lines on our event page on Facebook. We are a community. We share resources, and we want to be there for each other. So we just want you to keep in mind. We are coming down to the end of the show, and what I'd like to ask Carol to do is to take us into a very short, just kind of a meditation to get quiet and to really solidify these ideas, to just sit with them. So, Carol, can you do that for us?
I would be happy to. So if everyone could just take a few nice deep breaths. If you've downloaded this and you're listening to this driving, or if you're listening to us while you're driving your car, don't do the next piece, which is close your eyes. Always be safe if you're listening to us while driving, but otherwise take a few deep breaths and close your eyes. And right now, we invite those parts of ourselves that were harshly judged, those talents that have been buried, the places our hearts were broken around our talents, where we were made fun of, judged harshly. We invite all of that to come forward, to be embraced, to be loved. We ask that divine infinite spirit in by whatever name you relate to it, to enter into that space, to show you those gifts as what they are, the true blessings of how you incarnated into the world. We ask that light and love surround those parts of us that feel broken, judged, scared, worried about stepping forward and stepping out. And we ask that they be held in the light of their purest gifts, their purest potential, so that our hearts may open and we may welcome those gifts back in, that we may play with them, explore with them, enjoy our lives more, and serve other people with love, with our talents, how they were given to us, and how they are asking to express through us. Breathing deep in, asking for a lightness of heart, a willingness to not take ourselves so seriously, to be able to laugh at our trips and falls, to be able to get back up and try again. To embrace who we are and who we can become. And we breathe and release on each out-breath all the energy, all the judgment, all the doubt. And we ask that the shifts continue so that we can joyfully express our individuality, knowing that as we do so, we give each person here on the planet the ability to bring their gifts to the table so that we can create a more loving, kinder world that works for all. Thank you.
That was beautiful, Carol.
And I think that's one of the things that we touched on earlier, is that we're doing this not just for our benefit, our personal benefit or our family's benefit. I look around the world and I see so many things that I could see that could be done better, that could be fixed, that need love poured on them, mm-hmm. that need us to step up. And someone has the talent and has the vision that could fix that thing. Someone has an idea that could solve some of our energy problems as far as not using fossil fuels. And someone else has something else, and that may not be my talent. But I think there's so many people here, and it feels to me like we need to get back to that vision, that greater vision that I remember more expressed when I was a kid. I was a child of the 60s and 70s, and I remember us going to the moon. And I remember, you know, that was such an impossible vision at one time, and we as human beings did that. And I think this allowing people to express and being in the place where each one of us knows that we have more potential than we're using, and we're not hard on ourselves. We just allow softenings and openings where we allow ourselves to take a step that's a little bolder and a little bigger than we might have taken. And if we encourage that kind of visioning in our world, I think there's so much more possible than a lot of us, I think, have gotten cynical and are like, oh, well, what do we do? What do we do? Well, if no one's getting out there with a vision of fixing something, we can't fix it. But if everyone starts to embrace, like, well, what can I do? And even whatever that is, you know, being a more conscious parent is a huge contribution to the world.
Absolutely. So, Carol, I think that what you're talking about is basically the responsibility that we have to show up with what we've been given, and
right.
that we can't do all things for all people. And
right.
certainly, when you know, it's kind of like when you're being asked to volunteer. Like if you're at a school or you belong to a church and they need you to volunteer, the thing that you should volunteer to do is the thing that comes quite naturally to you. Is you know, volunteering for something that is not in your bailiwick or is going to make you miserable is not okay. You don't need to do that. You should show up with what you have, and what you have is needed. And with all of the people in the world and all of the different talents, if everybody was actively expressing their talents, then you're right. The world would be shifting into that better place, into that better energy. And we have a lot of people holding sacred space for that to come forth and to happen, and that's why there's such a huge shift happening in our consciousness that you know we all are very well aware of, and it's a good thing. But it doesn't happen overnight, and it doesn't happen without bloodshed, unfortunately, and pain and suffering that's going on. And we just, you know, I'm grateful for the people who are able to go out into the world and to do big, great things. You know, from my perspective, like Carol and I were talking, is for my gifts in the world are to encourage people, to cheer people on, to be the person who inspires somebody, to be that salve on that wound with my music, or to brighten up somebody's day, to make somebody laugh, to bring them out of some sadness or some darkness, and to help them laugh at their humanity. That's what my job is, and I've learned that over the years. That comes up in many different forms, whether it's through the books that I'm writing or my music or my blog or, you know, just this radio show, participating in this. It's been such a great gift for me because we are talking about, we are putting energy out there, and we are creating a community of people who are just showing up with their hearts wide open and, you know, just wanting to be in the world and wanting to go big and wanting to be in full expression, and we're here to support that. And so that's what we're doing, and we're just really happy that you've joined us for the show today. Carol, I know we have about 10 more minutes left, don't we?
Yes, we do.
10 more minutes. So we're on the Creating Calm Network and right now, and after our show, Uma Gerrish,
right,
has a show, and Uma is just phenomenal. She can't join us because she's preparing for her show. I love when she joins us, though. It's quite fun. So her show is The Grammar of Grief. And do you know what her show is about today?
I don't. I was a bad lead-in host.
Well, whatever Uma is talking about, it's always a great discussion. It's The Grammar of Grief. If you can imagine any kind of grief in your life, you know, she is dealing with it, has dealt with it, and she does work around that, and she's just a love. She's just a love. And so if you are dealing with anything having to do with loss, it could be of a person, it could be of a job, it could be of a house, it could be of anything, Uma is your go-to gal for that. It's the soothing salve on the wound.
Oh.
And yeah.
I just found what her show is, and it's a beautiful show, and it's Uma is hosting Simber Lily Quinn, who is another one of the Creating Calm Network hosts, and Simber Lily is a harpist.
Ooh.
And does harp meditations and harp healing. And if you can't connect with them on the show, you'd want to listen to it on replay, or go to YouTube and look up Simber Lily Quinn. I will type her name on the
event page. Good. I'd like to go. I want to go check that out.
Because she does these healing heart meditations, and they're just beautiful. And she's another amazing soul on the Creating Calm Network. There's a lot of beautiful people. You can go to creatingcalmnetwork.com, check out the host of the roster of all the different shows. You know, jump in. There's replay links there. You can listen to a number of different people, maybe find someone new to listen to that.
And they can listen to our show, Carol. They can listen to replays of our past shows, which are, you know, pretty fabulous. Of course, that last one that was kind of jumbled up, it was the big mess that was more fun than any other show.
It was fun, and if you can laugh with us about the clown car, that's what it felt like. It felt like I was getting in and out of the clown car. As Blog Talk kept saying, you know, we started the show and it said, you have 15 minutes left. And I went, huh?
No, we don't.
So
that happened. But the other thing we want to remind you is that if you enjoy this show, please share it with your friends. If you can share it on Facebook, if you go to the replay link and you say, I love these girls, they're fabulous, it's fabulous, please share, because the more people that we can get involved, the more we can get the message out there, and the more that we can help people, and the more wonderful people we can draw into our community. So please do share if you love the show, and please do participate in our live discussion. It is on the Facebook page. If you want to post something or you have a question, you know, please do participate. That's why we're here. So we're always reading what people are asking and trying to address anything. And I have found, Carol, that most people that I talk to say, oh, I listened to the show. And I'm like, well, I didn't know you listened to it. But they listened to it, but they weren't participating, which is fine, too. I've done that with shows, just wanted to listen. So it's good. It's all good energy.
Well, I realized what a following we had the 2 weeks that I took off. Susan K went to Paris, and I was busy and working on some other stuff, so I used that opportunity to give our show a hiatus. And so there were 2 weeks we didn't do the show, and I started getting messages from people going, what, no radio show this week? So I want to thank you all for coming back and, telling me that you do appreciate what we're doing here. And when we talk about shifting from scared to sacred, it really is just about self-definition. Which part of yourself are you defining? Are you defining yourself by all your worries and all your doubts and all your fears? Or are you willing to go big? Are you willing to embrace those parts of yourself that are calling you to step out? So we want to shift into that part of us that says, I came here with a mission, and I may not even know exactly what my mission is, but I want to live my life full out. I want to live in service, in love, in joy, in whatever your words are. We just wish that for you, and we hope that our show is this place where you have a safe home to both be with the fear part or the worry or the I don't know how to embrace this all. And I can't do, as the little picture on the event page is a juggler, I can't juggle all this. I keep dropping the balls. Yeah, that's okay too, because we're human and we're embracing that. You know, one of the things I always say is there's that quote by Teilhard de Chardin that says, we're not human beings having a spiritual experience, we're spiritual beings having a human experience.
Yes.
But so many of us forget to embrace this messy part that is the human experience.
Yep, and we celebrate it, and we look at it, we laugh about it, because it is the reality. The reality, people, is that we are in this physical world, and it is physical, it is high definition, it is 24/7. And with the internet and everything, it has, and social media, it has gotten even more 24/7. So, and we are human beings having to process all of that, and it's not easy. It's not easy to do that. So, one of the suggestions I think that Carol will agree with me on is to take that time out. That's why I like for Carol to even just do a small meditation during the show, because you need to have that time and that space, even if you only can take 5 minutes. Where you are just going within and finding your inner peace and just sitting in silence and finding that place within you that feels that love and that space, and going to that space and listening for the answers to the questions that you have, because they are there. They really are there in the silence. And if you are worried about something, or you don't know how to find a certain resource, the very first place I tell you to look is within yourself, is to go into the silence and ask. Ask the universe for the energy. Ask for the clearing of the channel to bring it to you. And once you ask out loud, the power of your words has a vibration that goes instantly into effect, and it will bring you gradually the answers. But the thing that you need to know is that they're not going to all come at once. One of the good things to ask for is, what is the next step? What is the next right thing for me to do? And that next right thing might just be to go brush your teeth. It might just be that you need that baby of a step. But whatever it is, you're not going to find out unless you ask. So,
or you might get like me, make your heart big enough to embrace the world, and then you go, WTF. And then you laugh, and then you're human, and you just move forward. And one of the
details, you're like, details, please. I need details.
details. Give me more.
I need more.
And you can laugh about that. And one of the things I encourage people so much, and I know some parts of the country in the United States and parts of the world right now, it's still winter. There's still snow on the ground. But spring is coming, and that ability to get outside and be in nature will be more available to people. And I would say, get out of the house, connect, notice how newness is coming. I know there's some people who were sharing their flowers that got snowed on, and my heart kind of squeezed for them, because it's like that first thing of spring, and then you get a little extra dose of winter. But spring is happening all around, and nature is supplying us with beauty that we can look at and connect with, and that's another thing that you can do. And we are out of time.
Yes.
So I want to thank you for joining us this week. I want to thank you for being with us all every week. I will post a replay link for this show. If you want to share it, I will share the link in a little bit. And tune in next week. Always check in with us on Facebook or on Twitter, and there is always a post on what we're talking about. So we love you all, and we are supporting you in embracing all you are.
Have a great rest of the week, everyone, and a wonderful Easter weekend or Passover, whatever you're celebrating. Just enjoy the newness of spring, and we will not see you. We'll hear you, or you'll hear us next time, right?
Right. Bye.
Bye.
Everything I need is right in front of me. Every place I stand is holy ground.